Well, hey, Shelter Rock Church, it's so great to be with you today as we continue our teaching series entitled Love, Walk, and Do. Over the course of this series, we're focusing our attention on Micah chapter 6, verse 8, which says, "What is it that the Lord requires of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" We've taken that verse and we've brought to the surface these three verbs: to love, to walk, and to do. 2 weeks ago, I was here and we talked about what does it mean to love mercy. Last week, Pastor Mike brought us through what it means to walk humbly. And today we're going to talk about what does it mean to act justly? What does it mean to do justice and to be a people that do justice in our world? In 1797, a young girl by the name of Isabella Bomfrey was born into slavery in Ulster County, New York, just about 2.5 hours from here. Her parents were James and Betsy, and they were the property of a colonel who had served under George Washington's Continental Army. As a child, Isabella spoke only Dutch, and like most children born into slavery, she never learned to read or to write. At the age of 9, her slave owner sold her away from her parents in order to sell a debt. In fact, she would be sold 4 more times before she was the age of 13. Over the course of that time, she endured physical and sexual abuse. Isabella lived in a land that had already passed the Bill of Rights, and yet many of those rights were not applied to her. And yet, through the unimaginable pain and suffering she endured, she remembered something her mother had taught her years ago. Her mother would tell her that God lived in the sky and that she could call on Him anytime she was in need. Now, I wouldn't necessarily agree that God lives in the sky, but I would 100% affirm that we can call on God anytime and know that He will hear us. Well, one day, Isabella was out in the woods, as she would often go, and she was calling out to God. And on one day, she felt as though she heard something back. It wasn't an audible voice, but she just sensed suddenly in her heart, in her spirit, that God was with her. And she would later say that she knew in that moment that Jesus loved her. She knew it and she felt it. It was a sense that God was with her that gave her the courage to run away from slavery and march towards freedom, carrying only her infant daughter in her arms. You know, years later, as Isabella grew in her faith, she began to study the Bible. Now, she couldn't read or write, so she had other people read it to her aloud. But over that time, she memorized large portions of Scripture. And it was at that time that she started to sense that it was God who had set her free, and that God was calling her not only to be someone who had received freedom, but someone who worked for the freedom of others. It was at that time that she changed her name from Isabella Bomfrey to Sojourner Truth. Sojourner because she felt as though she was called to go up and down the land, showing people their sins, and Truth because she felt as though God had called her to declare and embody the truth of God to people. These days, we often talk about influencers in our culture, oftentimes in the context of social media. Well, here is a real influencer, Sojourner Truth. And like so many of the world's greatest influencers, she was a Christian. And it was because of her belief and conviction of who God is and what God says in His Word that she became an advocate for justice and for equal rights, for the abolition of slavery and for equal rights of women. She was a woman who knew God's Word, and it was God's Word and God's truth that really compelled her to work and fight for justice. What does God require of us? What does God require of you and me? Well, Micah 6, verse 8 says that among what God requires, demands of us, is that we do justice. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, I understand the moment we begin talking about justice, many people get uncomfortable or concerned because it's a word that, unfortunately, has been often used in polarized or politicized ways. And we tend to hear things through a political framework, especially in our world. But let's not do that. Rather, let us begin by reframing and reclaiming what we mean when we say the word justice. Because the word justice is a very important Bible word, a word that reveals to us who God is and who God calls us to be. First and foremost, we need to recognize that justice is rooted in God's word, that justice reveals the existence of God and flows from the very heart and character of God. When we talk about who God is, we can affirm that our God is a God of justice. Isaiah 61:8 says, "For I, the Lord, love justice." Psalm 33:5, "He loves righteousness and justice." Isaiah 30:18 says, "For the Lord is a God of justice." The psalmist says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. "For he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just." See, the Bible reveals the God of justice, who is just and who demands justice from us. Now, the Hebrew word for justice is the word mishpat. It occurs over 421 times in the Hebrew Bible, and it's a very rich Bible word, pregnant with meaning. We often think about doing justice in terms of punishment, right? Someone has done a wrong and we give them justice. We give them the punishment they deserve. But in the Bible, the word mishpat goes beyond punishment. It actually speaks to giving people their rights. We know this because in Deuteronomy chapter 18, when the priests are given their portion of the land, the Bible says this was the priest's mishpat, which means their due or their right, that which they were entitled to. And so mishpat, biblically speaking, justice, and here's your definition, is giving people their due, whether it is punishment, protection, or care. Giving people their due, whether it is punishment, protection, or care. So there's really these two senses of justice. There's a sense where it's punishment and or protection, where punishment can be retribution or restoration. Now here's where it's really important to understand what the Bible means when it talks about justice. 9 times out of 10, when the Bible uses the word mishpat, it's not talking about retribution, but restoration. It's talking about God's justice, which gives people their due, which sometimes gives them the punishment that we deserve. But more times than not in the Bible, it talks about giving people the protection they deserve, the dignity they deserve, treating people as though they have surpassing worth, understanding that every man, woman, and child is created in God's image and treating them accordingly. Over and over again, it's doing justice is taking up the cause of the widow, the orphan, the immigrant, and the poor. Well, why is that? You know, in agrarian societies, those four groups, the quartet of the vulnerable, were those most prone towards injustice. They were the ones who had the least economic and social power. And so to do justice was to intervene and to provide and protect those who could not protect themselves. That's why Isaiah says we are to learn to do what is right and seek justice. Zechariah says, "Administer true justice. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor." The verse in Amos that says, "Those who oppress the innocent and take bribes deprive the poor of justice in the courts." Micah 6:8, "What does the Lord require of us but to do justice?" You get to the New Testament and Jesus echoes the Old Testament prophets when he calls out the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth and yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law, which are justice, mercy, and faithfulness." In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27, James says that true religions that our God and Father accepts is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. See, in the Bible, justice, and when we're called to do justice, it's not about enacting retribution, but really working towards restoration. The word justice and the word just literally is the word for upright. It's when something is straight. And so let me illustrate it for you this way. If the world we live in is unjust, or as the Bible would put it oftentimes, the world we look at is crooked, right? And it's broken and it's bent and it's not as it should be. And the work of justice is when we come into our broken world and we look at that which is broken, that which should not be, that which is unjust, and we work towards making it straight. This is what it means to do justice, to take that which is bent and make it straight again. Now, it's not perfectly straight, and we know on this side of heaven, nothing will ever be perfectly straight, but this is what it means to do justice, to enter into the brokenness and bentness of our world, to look at what is crooked and work towards making it straight and right again. How can you and I be a people who do justice? How is it practically that you and I can live out this command? Because it is a command. This is a command from God. He's telling us what the Lord demands of us, that we do justice. So I want to ask you, how do we become a people that do justice? And I want to offer two simple steps that we can take to ensure that we are a people who does justice. First of all, if we are to do justice, we must see what God sees. And secondly, if we're to do justice, we must do as God does. See as God sees and do as God does. First, what does it mean to see as God sees? As you read through the book of Micah, what you see is that Micah is issuing an indictment, a court case, against Israel and Judah for their injustice towards those who were lowly in their land. There were poor farmers who were being exploited while rich landowners became more wealthy. There were unjust business dealings, robbery, mistreatment of women and children, and a government that lived in luxury at the expense of its nation's poor. Micah 7:2 says there was no justice in the land. Micah 7:3 says that the judges were accepting bribes. And in Micah chapter 3, verse 11, it says even the priests and the prophets were being bought, which means it wasn't just the secular leaders in Micah's day, but the religious leaders who were exploiting the very people it was their responsibility to protect. And Micah is ticked. And so he writes, and God is ticked. And so this letter is written against the people about how they were disadvantaging those who were already disadvantaged. And he says they are not doing justice. And he makes it clear, you can't hide behind your religious activities and your good works and these sacrifices you're making. That's not what God wants of us. He calls us to be a people who do justice, who see every single person as someone who is made in God's image. And I would say on this side of the cross, we view every single human being as someone who has surpassing worth. Why? Because Jesus saw them and loved them enough to give his life for them. You know, what does it mean for us to do justice? I think, first of all, we've got to see people the way God sees them. You know, Jesus is our supreme example of what this looks like. He saw people, all people, as precious, and he gave them the dignity that each human being deserves. There's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. It comes from Luke chapter 13. When Jesus was teaching in a synagogue and he saw a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. The Bible says that she was literally bent over, meaning she could not straighten at all. Remember, if injustice is being bent, justice is making things straight. Here's a woman who had been crippled for 18 years by a spirit and was bent over and could not stand up. It was the Sabbath day, and Jesus was teaching. He was doing what the law required. But when he saw this woman in need, he couldn't just let her be. He couldn't just walk away. The Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse 12, look at this. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Now, first of all, when Jesus calls her woman, I want you to know this is not a sign of disrespect. In fact, Jesus calls his own mother woman in John's gospel. This was one way in that culture that you could show respect to another woman. And we know that because he calls her later in the passage a daughter of Abraham. Here is a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of the Most High God, who was not living in the oughtness of God. She was living a life that was oppressed, and she was bent over. It was not as it should be. And Jesus saw her, and he loved her, and he laid his hands on her, and he spoke tenderly to her, and then he healed her. If you and I are going to be a people who do justice, we can't just look past people in their plight, in their condition. We have to see people with the eyes of God and see every person the way God sees them. We have this image of justice in our culture of Lady Justice. And if you know Lady Justice, you know the image. She's blindfolded and she's got scales in her hands and a sword. And the whole idea of her being blindfolded is that she's completely impartial, right? She doesn't see who is there. She shows no favoritism and she's completely impartial. She just weighs the evidence because she cannot see. My question is this: why do we need to be blindfolded to be impartial? It's because in human nature, we know that we tend to look at people and favor them or treat them differently depending on how they present themselves to us. We don't see all people equally. We don't give all people and treat them with the dignity that everyone deserves. If we're going to do justice, I want to invite us not to be blindfolded, but to be impartial with our eyes wide open, to see every man, woman, and child as precious and valued in the sight of God. If we're going to do justice, we need to see as God sees. But we need to go beyond that. We can't just see as God sees. We're also invited to do as God does. Do what God does. Notice the command in Micah is a verb. We are to do justice. This means that doing justice requires action. It's not just talk, right? In this case, talk is cheap. You may talk about justice. You may tweet about justice. You may post about justice. You may even preach sermons about justice. But if that is the extent of what you and I do about injustice, then we are not doing justice. We're merely virtue signaling. And I say this because we need to be clear that posting is not the same as doing, right? Speaking is not the same as acting. Biblical justice is never divorced from concrete acts of love and mercy. This past week on a phone call with Pastor Nathan, he put it so beautifully to me. He says, whatever justice is, it has feet and it is moving. I love that. Whatever justice is, it has feet and it is moving. And it reminds me really of the gospel, right? I mean, God did not do justice for us just by talking about it and writing about it and speaking about it and sending prophets to share about it. No. He came into the world. He broke into the world in the person of Jesus and he did something about it. And in Jesus, what we see is true justice, whole justice. It's both retributive and restorative, right? It's on the one hand, it's retributive. Right? We've sinned against God and we deserve to be punished. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And justice demands punishment for our sins. So Jesus bears the punishment on the cross. Retributive justice is satisfied. But the gospel also brings restorative justice, doesn't it? Right? Through his finished work on the cross, the Lord restores those who were broken by sin. Our sin threatened to undo us, but Christ came to renew us, right? Our sin separated us from God, but Jesus has reconciled us back to God and to one another. He's done this work of restoring and renewing us, and not just us, but the whole world. And so when we do justice, we are reflecting the gospel. We are joining in and participating in what God has already done for us and what is God's great work in the world. When we give food to those who are hungry, we're doing justice. We're sharing with those in need. We're doing justice. When we sponsor a child in need, we're doing justice. When we open up our homes to someone who needs a place, we're doing justice. When we speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, we're doing justice. When we fight for the rights of others, we're doing justice. When we treat all people with respect and dignity, we're doing justice. When we share the gospel and we share our faith with those whom we love, we're treating them with dignity and respect and love and care and concern. We're doing justice. It might be serving at an after-school program, visiting someone at a nursing home, taking in a foster child, employing someone who had just been released from prison. All of these things are some of the ways that you and I can do justice in our world. I want to invite you to reflect, to consider, to pray, to ask God how it is that he might call you to do justice. See, I believe we are each uniquely equipped and called to do justice with the gifts and the skills and the talents and the time that God has given us. I love this quote from Gary Haugen, the founder of IJM. He says this. He says, when our grandchildren ask us where we were, when the voiceless and the vulnerable and in our era needed leaders of compassion and purpose, I hope we can say that we showed up and we showed up on time. I gotta tell you, that's my prayer for Shelter Rock Church, that we would be a community that shows up, and that shows up on time. Not just so that we are people who do good in the world, and not to draw attention to ourselves, but that so that we would reflect the gospel to those who don't yet know Christ, that we could bear witness to the hope and the freedom that we ourselves have received. I started with the story of Sojourner Truth, and I started with her name. Because really, her name, the name she chose, really embodies what it is you and I are called to be. We're called to be sojourners of truth. sojourners. That's what 1 Peter refers to us as, the church. Sojourners, pilgrims, exiles who live in this world. If justice is anything, it has feet and it is moving. You and I are called to sojourn, to go and to declare and to proclaim and to embody the good news of the gospel. And we're to be sojourners of truth. We're to carry this truth that we have received and that the world needs to hear and to experience. And I think if we do that, if you and I become sojourners of truth, then we will see, as the prophet Amos says, justice flow like a river and righteousness like a never-ending stream. My prayer is that God would do this work in us and through us for our good and His glory. Let's pray. God, that's our prayer, that we would be a people who do justice, mishpat, that we would give everyone their due, and that we would treat others the way you have treated us. Lord, if this is going to happen, it's not going to be natural. We know that the world we live in is bent, but that you're making it straight. And so, Lord, we need your power, your strength by your Spirit to do what it is that you're calling us and requiring us to do. So, God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Let us be people who see the world the way you see it, and who do and act in the world in the way you have done. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.